sometimes when we take our focus off of God as Him being our Lord, and we shift that focus onto other persons or onto things that we have obtained in our lives, it could be met with some really hard circumstances, right? And idolatry starts in the heart, right? It's the craving, the wanting, the being satisfied by anything treasured more than God. You know, I think that God is testing us, right? He tests us on the things that He blesses us with to see how we're going to react or how we respond to these blessings. I want us to be conscious about what we worship and who we worship, the things that we hold close to and dear to us, the things that we love. God is going to test us, right? God may ask us to give them to Him, give them to someone else, to destroy them. You know, we may get an outlandish request from God, and that's Him just testing the fact of who are we idolizing. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the new episode of the Miles Hyde Podcast. This is Miles Monroe Jr. And as always on this podcast, my goal is to entertain, educate, and elevate you miles high above your fears, your doubts, and any limitations that you may think exist, always knowing that those limitations only exist in your mind, all right? So to get started, I want to plug our Monroe Global app, right? For those of you who don't know, we have a Monroe Global app that's available that contains all of our audio and video resources, right? We created this app to house all of those resources in one place. And I want to encourage you, if you are looking for some deep spiritual teachings on the kingdom of God and everything that is involved in the kingdom, right? And on topics like leadership and men and women, and everything that you would need to grow your personal mind, and even, you know, in your professional life, in your spiritual life, I would encourage you to download our Monroe Global app. It's available on all the app stores. I know sometimes people say, you know, the same content on the app is available on like platforms like YouTube, but that's not entirely correct. A lot of the content is available, but there are a lot of content that is exclusively available on the app, right? And to go further than that, it's all organized, you know, on our app, right? So my dad did a lot of series on the kingdom, you know, did many series on the kingdom, did a lot of series on men and women and fathers and leadership and vision and purpose and potential. And we have all of them organized on the app, so you can listen to each of those series, the teaching in those series in sequence, the way that they were taught. And I just think it's beneficial, you know, for your everyday life, right? If you need just to continue to be inspired and to continue learning, this is an asset that you can have at your disposal. And it's at your fingertips, right? It's gonna be on your mobile device. You can carry it with you. You can create your own playlist. You can download the resources to listen to them offline. I wanted to recreate and revamp this app just to make it a lot more functional and a lot more user friendly. And I think we have been able to do that. So I'm encouraging you, if you haven't already, download our Monroe Global app. And hopefully you enjoy it. All right, and leave us some good reviews. Leave us your recommendations, things that we can do to improve the app. You know, I'm always looking forward to that as well. Okay. All right. So for today, I want to talk about a particular topic. I went to get a haircut last week, or maybe a couple of weeks ago now, and I was having a conversation with my barber, and we were talking about idolatry, right? And you know, the conversation really impacted me so much that, you know, I went home, meditated on it, you know, did some research on it, reading through the Bible, and, you know, just it just was something that impacted me, because, you know, when we think of idolatry and the things that we idolize, right, and we go back into the scriptures, and the scriptures tell us that we are to have no other gods, have no other gods but the Lord. Sometimes we don't realize the things that we idolize or the persons that we idolize, right? There are times or you know, segments or portions of our lives that, you know, we lose focus off of who we're supposed to be idolizing or who we're supposed to hold high esteem in our lives. And the conversation that he and I were having was just about, man, you know, sometimes when we take our focus off of God as him being our Lord, or and you know, us quote unquote idolizing him, right, the creator, and we shift that focus onto other persons or onto things that we have obtained in our lives, it could be met with some really hard circumstances, right? You know, a lot of things are taken away from us, and we are, you know, humbled in certain ways that, you know, might be unexpected or might not even feel good to us. And it's all because of the sense of idolizing the wrong things. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, right? He and I had a great conversation. I was even trying to get him to come on the pod for us to have that conversation on the pod. Maybe one day I'll convince him to do it. But what I wanted to start with, just defining idolatry. And idolatry starts in the heart, right? It's the craving, the wanting, the being satisfied by anything treasured more than God. Again, I'll read that again. It starts in the heart, and it's the craving or the wanting or the being satisfied by anything treasured more than God. You know, God was, I think, clear in the instructions that he gave in his commandments on this topic of idolatry, right? And it takes us to Exodus chapter 20, right? And I want to focus on verses 3 through 6. And I guess I want to read these verses really quickly because, you know, I like I said, I had this conversation with my barber, and I came back and kind of, you know, just doing some studies and just revising different scriptures that spoke to that topic. And I just, you know, I saw some things in these verses that really stood out to me, and I felt would have made for a good conversation today. All right, so let's go with Exodus 20, the start of verse 3. You must not have any other god but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish an unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. So it's quite a bit to unpack in this verse, right? First of all, it says, you must not have any other gods before me. And then a few verses down, it says, for I, the Lord, your God, I'm a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods, right? I think God is clear in his statements here, saying that you aren't to have any other gods before me because I am a jealous God. And he shows, or he also says what the effects of idolizing or having other gods before him, you know, and he was very, very detailed, right? He said, I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. So, you know, what's being said here is, you know, God says, look, don't have any other gods before me, right? And then he says, if you do, you know, not only you are going to be affected, your entire family is going to be affected. And, you know, the third and fourth generations of your family could possibly be affected just by a decision of idolizing something or someone else other than God, right? And man, this like, just imagine, right? God giving us a simple instruction and us disobeying this command just affects our family for generations to come, right? This is a generational curse that we could experience if we idolize the wrong things. So keeping yourself from idols means keeping yourself from trusting, obeying, revering, and following anyone or anything other than God. You know, the conversation that my friend and I was having was, you know, when you accomplish things in life, right, and you achieve success, right, it allows you to enjoy, you know, different luxuries in life, right? Whether that's, you know, you get to, you know, live in a dream house that you want to live in, or drive a dream car, or, you know, be able to buy some nice clothing, or, you know, whatever the materialistic things is we're able to attain from the things that we are blessed with, right? It doesn't even have to be materialistic things all the time, right? It could be the fact that we have set goals for ourselves and achieved those goals, right? So if you have set, you know, exercise goals for yourself for this year, and you work hard to achieve those goals, and now, you know, your body is looking the way you want it to look, right? You got that hourglass figure for my women, and for the men, you know, you got them 8-pack abs that you've been, you know, dying to get to just to show off the summer body of yours. And, you know, sometimes it clouds who we are or who we're supposed to be as individuals, right? We get overly confident, you know, we get sometimes conceited, you know, with the things that we're able to have or the what we're able to accomplish. And we lose sight or lose focus on, you know, where the focus is supposed to be. And I believe, you know, my Barbara and I, the particular conversation we were having was in, you know, in those moments, you know, I think that God is testing us, right? He tests us on the things that he blesses us with, to see how we're going to react or how we respond to these blessings. You know, are you guys going to idolize these blessings more than you idolize me? You know, back in Exodus 20, you know, God said not to have any other gods before me. And the Israelites back then, you know, they built this golden calf, right, that they worshipped. And, you know, we all know the story, like it upset God and the calf was destroyed. And, you know, I think the symbolism in that story kind of causes us to only think that we, like, we have to create this God-like figure or thing in order for us to worship, right? And we lose track of the fact that the idol that is being referenced in Exodus 20 could be our homes, could be our cars, could be the money that we make. It could be anything tangible that we have in our possession, right? And, you know, I think the word that I want us to focus on here is just idolizing, right? Anything that we idolize. It doesn't have to be a god in particular, right? We can make anything a god in our lives, right? If we work hard to, you know, obtain a certain level of success, and we're able to buy our dream car, right? We could idolize that car, right? We could make this car the end all and be all of everything that we are, right? And you know, in some light, I guess it could be a little expected, right? But it's the level that we take it to, right? Because we should enjoy the spoils of our labor, right? The things that we put in work to do and the things that we're able to accomplish because of doing that. We should be able to enjoy those things, right? So we should be able to enjoy the homes that we live in and the cars that we drive and the people that we're able to to bring into our network and you know, just become friends with. Even the our physique, you know, when we're able to, you know, exercise right and eat right and do all the things that we've set out to do, and we see the results of this hard work that we're putting in, right? You know, if we want to go to the beach and show off that beach board, or, you know, just kind of exude this confidence now that we have been able to accomplish and achieve the things that we've set out to achieve and, you know, reap the results of it, we should enjoy that. But it has to come with a consciousness of where the focus needs to remain. You know, I like I said, I believe God tests us in all of these circumstances, right? In our successes, he wants to test us. He wants to make sure, I feel, that we aren't idolizing all of these things that we're able to achieve and attain. And it reminds me, at least it took me to Genesis chapter 22, right? And, you know, this is a story of Abraham. And, you know, we all know that Abraham, you know, God had a son named Isaac. And this was a son that he got later on in his life, right? And, you know, him and his wife wanted a son for so long, wasn't able to get a son, but God had always promised him a son. And finally, you know, God blessed him with a son. He named that son Isaac. And I think in you know, there's so many principles and lessons that we learn from this particular story of Abraham. But, you know, in this conversation that I had, I also saw this story or this lesson in idolatry, right? And idolizing the wrong things. Because, you know, Abraham was able to, you know, have a son. I mean, he loved his son, treasured his son. I'm sure that, you know, him being able to have Isaac was probably the biggest accomplishment that he has had to that point. And, you know, I think God wanted to test him, right? And you know, I'll just read. I'm going to start at verse 1. So Genesis 22, verse 1. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. God said, take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac, whom you love so much. So I just want to pause there. Yo, I read this verse and I was like, so God knows what we love and who we love, right? He knows these things that he has blessed us with, and he knows how much we appreciate and love these things, right? And he lets us know we love him. Like, yo, this is the thing that I bless you with. I know you love this, right? And, you know, the next verse, it says, whom you love so much, and take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Now, so just imagine, right? God blesses you with something, whether it's a child or, you know, a home, a vehicle, you know, anything that God has blessed you with, a successful organization. And then God turns around and says, all right, I want you to take that blessing and I want you to burn it. Like, how much of us are going to look at God like crazy and be like, yo, you can't be serious. Like, are you really saying that you want me to destroy, right, this blessing that you have given me, this blessing that I love so much? And I think in that gesture, or in that moment, God is testing the things that we idolize. Like, are you going to idolize me and trust me and obey me? Or are you going to put your focus on this person or this thing that you have, and you're going to, you know, one up them over me? And I think that's what he was doing with Abraham, right? And, you know, I'm going to go down to verse 12, but in between I ended on verse 2. In between verse 2 and verse 12, you know, Abraham said, okay, yes, Lord. He took Isaac and some servants, and they went to the area God told them. When they got there, Abraham took Isaac further on to create the altar. He left. He told his servants to remain behind. And in that moment, you know, Isaac asked Abraham, you know, like, God, Dad, I see the wood for the altar. I see the fire that you have. But I don't see the thing that we're supposed to sacrifice, right? And, you know, all Abraham told him was like, man, the Lord will provide. And again, they went on, went up to Moriah, and Abraham obeyed God as hard as I could imagine it was for him. You know, he showed God that, you know, this is a blessing that you gave me in a son who I named Isaac. But I want to show you that this is still the least to me when it compares to you. Anything that you want me to do with this blessing, I will obey you and do it, right? So Abraham laid his son out on the altar, tied him down, got the knife that he was going to sacrifice Isaac with, and you know, he was about to do what the Lord said. And let's go at verse 11. Let's go to verse 10. And it said, and Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. And the angel said, don't lay a hand on the boy. The angel said, do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Again, the angel said, now I know you truly fear God. Now I know that you fear God so much that you're idolizing him and him only, and nothing else matters to you. You're willing to even sacrifice your one and only son to obey the Lord and to obey his commands. And then, you know, obviously later on down in verse 16, it says, you know, this is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham went from having one son God telling him, yeah, I want you to sacrifice this son. And Abraham proved himself, man, I'm not worshiping or idolizing anyone except you, Lord. And because of his obedience and his fear of the Lord blessed him with generational wealth, with generational blessings. All of his descendants, you know, to the ends of the earth are going to be blessed, or were blessed, because of that one decision that he made to not idolize a blessing that he received, but to, you know, to fear God and obey his commands. You know, God tests us to make sure what he blesses us with, we don't worship. You know, God wants to bless us, right? God wants us to be successful in life. He wants us to have successful organizations. He wants us to have a healthy and successful family. But if we turn around and lose focus off where the focus is supposed to be, and we start to worship, you know, these things, these tangible things, or even these persons that we've been blessed with, you know, God is going to, the circumstances of that choice or those choices could be detrimental to not only us, but to our entire families. And on the flip side, you know, in Abraham's example, obeying those words and obeying, you know, having reverence for God and God only, right, and not worshiping anything else, can cause our blessings to multiply, right, and to multiply not just for us, but for, you know, generations to come, multiple generations. And, you know, I think when we think of, you know, worshiping false gods, right, I want to hone in on the point that we can make anything a god. We can make, again, our job, our work a god. We can make our spouse a god. We can make our kids a god. We can make our house a god, our vehicles a god. We can make anything a God. And you know, when God said, thou shalt have no other God before me, he's talking about anything that we could possibly make a God. And if you do, I'm going to humble you. I'm going to take these things away. I'm going to curse your generations. You're going to have generational curses because you don't hold me as the one true God. You're worshiping all of these other things and losing focus on me, who is capable of giving you and has given you, you know, all of these blessings. You know, I go back to Moses, you know, and just speaking about being disobedient. You know, when God asked Moses to rescue the Israelites out of Egypt, you know, he told Moses that he wanted him to take the Israelites, you know, into the promised land. And, you know, obviously, you know, if you know the story, you know, the Israelites were, all of them were a pain, right? God went through multiple decisions of wanting to kill everyone and start over. And Abraham had to convince God, like, not to, these are your people. And, you know, he went through all of that spiel. But at some point in that journey, you know, God was like, all right, Abraham, you know, I'm going to listen to you. I want you to take, you know, my people into the promised land. And this, it was this one particular time where, you know, they were complaining about not having any water, you know, and keep in mind, God had provided for them straight up until this point, right? He parted the Red Sea. He, you know, provided food, he provided shelter, he provided all of these things for them. And yet still they doubted God. Yet still they took that for granted. You know, all the things that God were doing for them. And, you know, Moses, you know, was at this point where, you know, they were complaining about water, and he went to God, and God was like, all right, you know, just speak to this rock and you will have enough water to feed, you know, everyone, including the cattle and the livestock and all the animals and stuff. And Moses was like, all right, cool. And Moses went, you know, called all the people together and allowed his emotions and his frustrations to get the best of him. And he, instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock twice. And I want to hone in on disobeying God, right? And again, this stems from my conversation with my barber, right? And, you know, he reiterated that, you know, being disobedient to God could cause you not to go into the promised land. So that's what brought me to this story, right? And again, you know, Moses was told to speak to the rock, didn't speak to the rock. He struck the rock twice. The principle here is also, like, even when you're disobedient, you can experience the blessing still, right? So even though God told Moses to speak to the rock, and Moses didn't speak to the rock, he struck the rock, water was still produced, right? And was still able to quench the thirst of everyone that was thirsty. But what happened with Moses in particular, you know, God told him that because you didn't listen to me, because you were disobedient, you're not going to enter into the promised land. And Moses never entered. You know, we know the story. He was never able to enter the promised land. So I want us to gather from, you know, that illustration, not only the fact that being disobedient can keep us out of the promised land, but that being disobedient causes us to miss out on the ultimate blessings of God, right? And in you know, God's commands and his instructions telling us not to have any other gods before him, I always think it's important for us to obey that, and obey that in its entirety, knowing that, you know, there are things that we can idolize that can cause us to, you know, put them before God, which in turn would make them a God to us. You know, I want us to be conscious about what we worship, and who we worship, the things that we hold close to and dear to us, the things that we love. God is going to test us, right? God may ask us to give them to him, give them to someone else, to destroy them. You know, we may get an outlandish request from God, and that's him just testing the fact of who are we idolizing. Are you going to idolize this thing that I blessed you with over me? or is this going to be trivial to who I am to you? And let's continue to hold God in high esteem. Let's continue to put our focus on him always. Because even if the request is to destroy the blessing, we must know that that request has to have a circumstantial blessing above and beyond the blessing that we've been told to give away or destroy or whatnot. You know, just the key is to be obedient. Be obedient to the word of God. Be obedient to the request of God. I think we should continue to, again, keep our focus where our focus needs to be. Enjoy the blessings, right? Enjoy the things that we have been given by God and the things that we're able to attain physically. But let's not hold them higher or in a higher place than you know, we hold God. Because, again, if we continue to do that, if we do that, you know, we're not going to enter into the promised land, whatever that promised land is to you. So I want to, you know, just challenge us. And I'm going to continue to challenge all of us, you know, this year to focus on the right things, idolize the right person. There's only one person we're supposed to idolize. And I think, you know, knowing our capabilities of possibly, you know, putting other gods before the one God that we should serve should keep us honest in our fear of the Lord. And in fearing God, we should know that our desires are not our own or should not be our own, right? It should be anything and everything that he wants us to accomplish. And just put it in his hands and understand that, you know, the blessings, even though they're great, they could and will be tested. And when that test comes, just to be obedient with the test, because the blessings after the test, you know, is far greater than the blessing itself. And I think that's the key that I want to leave with us today. All right. And that brings us to the portion of the pod where I get to leave with you a milestone. All right. And today's milestone is very simple. It says, I fear God, and next to God, I mostly fear them that fear him not. I fear God, and next to God, I mostly fear them that fear him not. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Everything starts with the fear of God. And I think if we stay rooted in being fearful of God, right, everything else will, I think, be provided to us and for us. So continue to fear God, and fear, the only thing you should fear more than God are those that don't fear him. All right. It brings us to the end of this pod. This one was fairly deep, fairly a bit more principled, I guess, than others, but still I think relevant in, you know, what I feel we should continue to aspire and challenge ourselves to do and be throughout the rest of this year. All right. As always, the goal of this pod is to entertain, educate, and elevate you miles high above your fears, your doubts, and any limitations that you may think exist, always knowing that those limitations only exist in your mind. All right, until next time, you guys stay blessed.